We have the best show for you today. I'm so excited because Bailey is back on. Bailey T. Hurley is back on Friending, and we're talking about the unhealthy TV friendships that we thought were cool when we were younger. This is going to be a fun show and also maybe a little bit insightful because, well, you'll see. Hey, it's your friend Noelle, and you're listening to Friending, a podcast that helps Jesus-loving women have awesome female friendships. Because let's be real, friendship can be hard and complicated, and sometimes it's easy to think that you're the only one on the friendship struggle bus. Well, good news, you're not. Here at Friending, we will have honest and sometimes uncomfortable conversations about finding the friends we need right now, getting healing for the friendship wounds of our past, and how to get beyond just having coffee and chit-chat with friends to having heart-to-heart, deep-level conversations where we grow together in our faith and cheer each other on in our dreams. You can count on Friending to be super real, super practical, and super here for you. Let's get down to it. Bailey, love having you on the show again. It's been so fun to have you as my co-host.
Yeah, this is fun, especially because I don't have a podcast. So now you're making me feel like a real podcaster.
You are a real podcaster. You are. And I'm particularly excited about today's episode because you and I have been talking about this. Mm-hmm. The idea of the friendships that we saw on television growing up have shaped, in our mind, what we think friendship should look like as an adult. So, you know, a classic example for me would be watching the TV show Friends all through high school. The last episode of Friends was the night before I graduated college. So, I mean, I really grew up on it. Yeah. And my entire life, I thought, this is what my adult friendships were going to look like.
Right.
Spoiler alert, not at all. So I think a lot of us could say that we had this idea what friendship looked like based on the television that we watched. And now as adults, and both you and I having studied female friendship, we can go and say, actually, some of these friendships are really unhealthy and you shouldn't aspire to have them at all. So we're going to talk about some of these. And I'm a little nervous of the hate mail we might get because some of these moves are precious. Definitely.
No, I think they're precious, but at some point you like reach this pinnacle of like, okay, yeah, that probably didn't work out. But I will say I really wanted to put Boy Meets World. That was my show growing up that I loved. And I just couldn't touch it. In my mind, I'm like, nope, those friendships are pure gold. Nothing wrong with them.
There's a lot of unhealth there. There's definitely.
Yeah. And I did that for me. I was like, not Boy Meets World.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. So we're going to dive in and kind of look at some of these friendships. And I'll go first because I already mentioned the first one. But the big one is Friends. And oh my gosh, it's... I mean, I'm telling you, I legitimately thought in my life that I was going to have an apartment in the city with two of my best girlfriends, or actually it's just one of them. Phoebe doesn't live with them, but you know, our guy friends live across from us, across the hall, and we do all the things together and we show up for every single event. We have all this fun things we do. We hang out at the coffee shop that one of our friends works at. And that just didn't happen. Now, I know it's happened for some people. Like, I guess some people listening can say, oh, I had that for a little bit in my 20s. But it's not sustainable. Not when you start to have real jobs that have different schedules. You get married. You have kids. And the fact that they would walk in and out of each other's apartments, it really showed a lack of boundaries. I mean, they even started to date each other. I mean, there's so much there that, you know, you step back and you go, where were the boundaries?
Mm-hmm. I know. I was just thinking the same thing when you talked about how like marriages should like break them up, you think, as a friend group, but then they all married each other. So I'm not really sure how that really plays out. Cause they're like, we can still be best friends. And now we're married friends with each other.
Yeah. And I think for people, particularly my age, I'm 38. So
again, I grew up on this. I really thought it was going to be this way. And when it wasn't, like when my husband and I did not have, we got married in 2003. So we got married young. We didn't have like four couples that we hung out with all the time, all together, doing all the things. We didn't. We may have like one couple we went out with every once in a while, but there wasn't like a group of us doing this. And we certainly, even if we found a group, it didn't always stay that way throughout all the years because we all had different lives. Some of us had kids, some of us didn't. Some of us had older kids. So those seasons kind of move you in this sort of weird way. It's very rare that you're going to find a group of people who have the exact similar pace of life. They're getting married at the same time. They're having the baby. It's impossible. So I think for some of us, we might be listening to Friending and going, oh, the ideal of the friendships that the show Friends put forward is not realistic. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's not realistic. It's not realistic. It's a friendship fantasy. Who wouldn't want to live in an apartment in New York City? Well, I guess there's some people out there who wouldn't. But I can tell you, it's just not. First of all, nobody works in a coffee shop and can afford the rent in New York City. So already we know it's unrealistic. But I can tell you that if you let go of that expectation, you can really see the benefit of different kinds of friendships, meaning you don't have to have one solid friendship group. Mm-hmm. You can have these people, the people I do this with, these people from my church and I do this with. It really actually creates a beautiful diversity of your community. And in many ways, you become a better person because you're not just hearing from the same five people or seven people, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like you really do get a much broader picture of what life can be when it's not just with the same people. So that would be my first one is Friends is a great show. It's funny. Lots of great jokes. My sister-in-law just had a 30th birthday party and it was Friends themed and it was so much fun, but it's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to break the bubble.
That's interesting that you say that because my first pick was the Friends and Sex and the City, which is interesting. Also takes place in Manhattan, which the reason why I felt like this friendship group didn't work is a little bit similar to Friends in the fact that I'm like, how they like withstand so many different changes of life from like married to divorce to married with kids, adoption. One of the characters moves to Brooklyn, like, but yet they like can still brunch together every single day and they can do everything together. And I just was like, I don't think there's really any friendships that like can withstand all of those different changes in their lives and still be as connected as they all are. As well as having four different personalities, you know, I think they created this like friend group full of like, oh, I'm most like this gal. I'm most like this gal. And because they've like created four very different personalities and Friends, I actually kind of feel like they've got their quirks, but they're all kind of the same. Where in Sex and the City, I feel like they're all really different. So in my mind, I'm like, wow, I can't imagine you guys actually being friends for so long. And I was talking about this with another friend as I was like preparing for this. And she felt like all of the friendships revolved around, revolved on Carrie. And then, you know, like they weren't really friends with each other. Yeah. So they were all friends with Carrie and they like came together for her issues, but they didn't actually like really interact with one another outside of her. So again, that sustainability, like it seems really wonderful. And I love the show. I love the movie so much. One of my favorite movies for like girl rom-coms. Mm-hmm. But yes, I feel like it just wasn't going to work. And then also with their in-person or like their real life drama between Sarah Jessica Parker and what is her name? The gal who plays Samantha. They like had real in-person conflict. And I've actually heard, I think it kind of taints the show too, because I'm constantly thinking like, oh, so did you really hate each other the whole time you're filming, like pretending to be best friends? And I think that has also tainted people's reality when they watch Sex and the City of like, this is all fake.
Yeah.
It fake is niceties.
So you're telling me that really off screen, Samantha and Carrie didn't really get on.
Right. Yes. They like really did not like each other at all.
That's interesting. That kills that friendship bubble. The other friendship I was thinking about, now this is really going to date me. This is really going to make me sound old, is Joey and Dawson from Dawson's Creek. I like watched this show as a high schooler, like it was my religion. And I just believed I was Joey. And I had a friend that was like Dawson, and we had a close friendship. Okay. So Joey and Dawson, Joey's the girl, Dawson's the boy. And like, they were so close. They would sleep in the same bed together as high school students. And like, I mean, there's so much that went down in Dawson's Creek. We can't cover it in this episode. But as a kid, as a teenage girl, I was like, you could totally, I can have my, like, of course my best friend is a guy, and it never gets confusing. I have never been able to have a best friend that was a guy and it did not get confusing. People I know swear it's possible. I believe them. But for me, it always got confusing. And let me just tell you, it got confusing for Joey and Dawson. And the whole series, you're going, is she going to wind up with Dawson in the end? I'm not going to tell you what happens because it's very controversial.
Oh, wait, but I want to know because I'm never going to spend the time to watch it. And I have to know, actually.
Well, I will tell you when we stop recording.
Okay, that's
because what if somebody is watching it? So, but it was very, very, it was like this, and it was exciting, obviously, as a 16-year-old girl. I'd be like, ooh, is it going to be something? And there, you know, she was dating this person and he was dating that person, but there was always this like deep connection. In fact, I want to read you a little quote. Okay. I got a little quote here. So the creator, Williamson, said that Dawson and Joey were soulmates. However, soulmates aren't always romantic, and sometimes our soulmates are our friends, which is what their relationship was, which I thought was very interesting because you're never really sure if they're just going to stay friends. And I will tell you that when I had all throughout high school, I had some very close guy friends. And there were moments where it's like, are we just going to stay friends? Or do you like me more than this? Or they thought, does Noelle like me more than just friends? It was just drama. And I could never like settle into the friendship and know what it was. And it confused the expectations. I mean, when I went to college, my best friend was a guy and I married him. Like that's eventually what happened. You know what I mean? Like Troy and I became friends. We became best friends. And then like eventually we were married. 17 years later, we're still married. So I just think that the idea of all of these sort of best friendships with the opposite sex or, you know, I don't think that they're completely drama free. I think for most of them, not all of them, there might be a question of will this go romantic?
Yeah,
that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
I agree. I think the only time it works is when it's a like father daughter relationship. Like that, like that's the only time it kind of works, when there's like a mutual affection for one another in a television show. I mean, in reality, I guess that works too. But you and I have talked about this, and you'll bring up the show too, but like Leslie Knope and
Ron Swanson,
where you're like, okay, they're definitely friends. This is never romantic.
It's not gonna be romantic.
But it feels like even though they might be around the same age, like there just feels more of a like mentor to mentor, father daughter sort of like friendship happening. And that's like the only time it works. Cause you're so right. I feel like there's very few shows when they try to make a best friend girl guy duo. Like it just doesn't work.
Somebody always secretly likes the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
And absolutely. I think if we go into these friendships thinking that that's never going to happen, that's where it's unhealthy. I don't think there's anything wrong with having friends of the opposite sex at all. I just think you have to have a reality check that, you know, there's a chance that that person could develop romantic feelings for you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I just think you'll laugh. But when my husband and I started dating, we had a conversation about this. And I think we were on the same page. But he kind of said that boys always think that like it's a possibility, like that the girl is going to fall for them. And he found this study and it was like, even if the girl is in a dating relationship, like the guy best friend, like that's not a, like a barrier or like a problem for them to think like they've got a shot at dating their best girlfriend. And I was like, wow, like I had no idea what the male brain was thinking, but like, this is a real indicator that like that whole, the perfect balance of the guy girl best friendship, like it's never going to cross boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be considered. That's all I'm saying to the friending family. Consider it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying stay away from it. I'm just saying, do not be naive. And the reason why this is important is if you don't consider it and it kind of happens, it can, and you don't deal with it well, it's difficult to recover. It's difficult to keep the friendship. If one person's like, actually, for the last 10 years, I've been secretly in love with you, and you were not prepared for you, you know, not totally shocks you, a lot of times, gotta speak the truth, the friendship ends. I hate to be blunt, but you know, that's how I roll.
That's true. I like that. I like the bluntness. Okay, you have one more. Tell me about it, because we kind of teased it. Tell me about Leslie.
Okay, now this sounds like complete sacrilege, but because I absolutely love the show Parks and Rec. I watch it every year with my husband, along with The Office. Mm-hmm. It's like our marriage therapy. But the relationship that Leslie Knope, who is an amazing character, love her, but the relationships, the friendships that she has with her coworkers is actually not healthy. One of the things you'll notice about the show, if you watch the show, is that Leslie Knope has a hard time taking no for an answer. And I think that many of us have had friends in our life who just, they get this idea, mm-hmm. they want to do something, they believe in it, they're passionate. And so they try to rally around them the people that are going to help them pull it off. And that's mm-hmm. Leslie Knope. It's like the whole premise of the show is around this idea that Leslie has these ideals and she has a passion for government and it's all good, but she gets everybody around her to be her team, to be her support, to make it happen. She has a very difficult time when they say, no, I don't want to do that. Usually the episode is about her in a very subtle way manipulating them to get on board. And TV show, you know, every episode is sort of like they see the value of what Leslie Knope is trying to do and they come to their senses. But in reality, if you have a friend like that who has a very clear vision and all they can see is what they believe is important and they don't really consider what is important to you or your boundaries, mm-hmm. it's a form of narcissism. I hate to say this about Leslie Knope. I feel like I'm, you know, a heretic, but it's true. It's like, obviously this is a TV show and the characters are exaggerated for comedic purposes, but I think a lot of us can think of somebody in our life who is always recruiting us to do something and they don't take no for an answer. It's not healthy. It's just unhealthy.
I agree with this. I feel like it's her enthusiasm and glitter that just like, you know, overshadows the harsh parts of it. It's interesting because I've also watched Parks and Rec all the way through. And even though I have a love for Leslie Knope, you also get the sense that like you're annoying or something. Like as I'm watching it, I'm like, if I was in an office with you, it's too much. You're too much right now with your kind of craziness. So,
and the thing is,
in real life,
what I think is so important that we can learn from the show is that the things that she wants to do are good things. They're not bad things. They're not even self-serving in any way. But
right.
to assume that everybody wants to be as passionate as you about the things that you are passionate about is a form of narcissism. You have to step back sometimes and go, okay, just because my friend isn't going to help me throw this fundraiser for this thing, it doesn't mean that she's a bad person or that she doesn't care about what I care about. It just means there's a boundary and mm-hmm. there's things that she's going to be into that I'm not going to be into. So that was just one. It was very painful for me to recognize that because I love the show so much and I don't like speaking badly about Leslie Knope because she's amazing. But I would have to say that would be my criticism of her as a friend.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay. Noelle, have you watched Gilmore Girls? Like, is this a show you've consumed?
Are you kidding me?
Okay, just making sure.
Now listen, I'm at the near end of season 7, so don't say too much. I'm almost at the end.
Okay. That's fine. And then have you watched the year in the life? They're like continuation.
Not yet.
I won't even bring it up, but okay. Just but I feel like there's two really bad friendships in this, Lorelai and Suki and Rory and Lane. But I'm going to talk about Lorelai and Suki because as I watched the show, even though I was in high school and they were, they're like in their 30s, right? Yeah. They're like 30s, some adults. In my mind, I was like, that is what I want. Like, I want a sister friend who is just like, we are so connected that we can riff off of each other and we can finish each other's sentences. And we just like, if you need to stop by at 2 a.m. because an issue happened, like it's no problem at all. So to me, I was like, yes, like that is beautiful. And I do think that like there is some really beautiful things about the friendship, but I like have noticed rewatching it as an adult that I really do feel like, I mean, the show revolves around Lorelai. Obviously, it's about her. Yeah. But I feel like it does even in that friendship. Like, the friendship is never, I shouldn't say never, but it's mostly about helping Lorelai. Right. And I, like, brought up a silly thing of how Suki is always cooking for Lorelai. Lorelai is in a rush, and she's like, my parents are coming in 5 minutes. And yeah. Suki's like, she's like, can you make something, Suki? And Suki's like, no problem. I'll make you a 3-course meal. And right. Going to be just fine. And so little things like that, I feel like the relationship does have more of a, like, she uses Suki just for whatever she needs. If she needs some support at work or in her relationships or with Luke, right. I definitely feel like it's a lot about Lorelai.
And she never takes Suki's advice, even though Suki's usually right.
That's a good point.
I want to hear about Lane and Rory.
Rory and Lane. Again, I just like, I didn't catch this the first time around. There's like, Lane goes through a lot. She is like moved out of the house.
Yes.
She's trying to date the terrible drummer. Like, that still irks me because I do not like Zach at all.
Oh, the guitarist. She's the drummer.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's the drummer, the guitarist. If you haven't seen this, Lane wants to be in a band. So she like gets kicked out of her home, moves in with her bandmates, falls in love with the guitarist who is such a punk. And so, but again, I feel like Lane, and I'm probably not going to get the episode right, but Lane has just realized that she loves Zach and she wants to bring it up to Rory. But Rory has just had an encounter with one of her ex-boyfriends.
Yep.
And so it's all, again, so Lane is like, I think I like Zach. And Rory's like, did you know that I just, you know, like slept with this guy? And what am I going to do? And my mom is mad at me. So I feel like anytime Lane is trying to work through stuff with Rory, she's like, forget about it. I have bigger issues going on. I need to talk about me first.
I think that is such a really great example because this is an easy friendship mistake that we make where there's one person that's always there, always supportive, always, there, you know, just going to be the listening ear, and the other person's like, you know, verbal vomit of their life. And we see that with Lorelai and Rory, and they use Suki and Lane as this safe place that they can sort of unload on, but very rarely are they there for Suki and Lane. And one big complaint I get all the time, I'm sure you've heard it too, Bailey, is people suffer in one-way friendships, one-sided friendships, where the one person is doing all the support and the other person is just using them. Mm-hmm. These are not healthy friendships to aspire to. I agree with you.
No, not at all. And I will say that, I don't know. I feel like as the show goes on and Lane like finds out she's pregnant with twins.
Yep.
I feel like they're starting to, like, you're starting to see it separate because Lane is like, I can no longer support you, Rory. Like I'm like going to be a mom. Like, I don't have the time to handle all of your issues. That is a friendship like that I don't see, like that it won't be sustained as like the future goes on for them.
Yeah.
Because not in real life. Yeah, not in real life. Like that, you would slowly just be like, I can't care for you anymore.
Right.
We do have some honorable mentions that came to mind as I was thinking about friendships. Full House. I was a big Full House girl. Like,
me too.
In all runs, I just felt like I just could watch Full House from like age 8 to like age 28. So it was a lot. And this was not a friendship. I don't think anyone while watching this show thought it was a healthy friendship, was DJ Tanner and Kimmy Gibbler, because Kimmy was the annoying friend. Like, I
out of control.
And I feel like even in the show, they're always like, oh, Kimmy, like,
yeah,
you're awesome. Don't really know how it worked out. What's been weird, and I think this is weird for many of the shows that we've talked about, is all of these revivals are giving us a look into, like, oh, so what did happen 20 years from now? Like, were they still friends? So if you would have asked me when the show ended, I would have said no. Like, there's no way that they would be. Like, why would they be friends? She didn't really like Kimmy. That's how I felt. But it came back, and I watched Fuller House, and I'm like, man, they pulled it off. I feel like their friendship has really recovered in a healthy way. And now they're, you know, living in a house together as adults. So
there you go.
It's working out. Did you ever watch Gossip Girl?
I have not watched Gossip Girl. It's on my list. It's on my list to watch.
Oh, man. Oh, well, the show kind of revolves around two friends, Serena and Blair. And that it's a hot mess. So, like, you'll just notice, like, there's actually nothing great about this friendship, even though maybe some would say that it's awesome. But it starts with one having slept with the other one's boyfriend, and I feel like that's all there is to it. Beginning
that's
of
usually, that's usually like a game changer in friendship for sure.
Yeah. Are there any others you can think of?
The only other one I thought of just right now on the fly is Meredith and Christina in Grey's Anatomy. There's parts of their friendship that is absolutely beautiful, wonderful, but they do kind of commiserate together. They're sort of miserable together. And for the sake of the show, it's funny and it works. But actually, if you're with people who the thing you bond over is like your misery and your negativity and just how life is hard, you probably won't grow as a person. Like, in real life, those kinds of friendships don't bring you to a healthy place. I love their fierce loyalty to each other and their commitment to support each other. But the beginning of their friendship, certainly, and throughout, they're just sort of miserable together. And it's not realistic as far as in the sense of that being healthy friendship. So, you know, again, one of the things I wanted to say, obviously, if you're an adult and you're listening to this episode, you know, TV is not real. It's, you know, it's a story. It's not like, you know, we're supposed to get our life instructions from television. But I think as you grow up, and I think it's important to remember this, that you do sort of in your mind go, oh, is this the way it's supposed to be? And you assume it's going to be that you're going to find your person, which is what Christina and Meredith call each other, their person. And when it doesn't happen right away or doesn't play out the way you thought, you think something's wrong with you. And yes, you can go, okay, well, TV is not reality, but your whole sort of idea of what adult friendship was going to look like was based on what you saw modeled in television, unless your mom or dad had very clear, healthy friendships that you could look to. But from the research, a lot of people say they don't. They didn't know who their parents' friends were, or their parents worked a lot and didn't have good friendships. So I just want to say, like, it's okay if you feel like your friendships as an adult don't look like your friendships that you watch on television, because it's impossible. But also I want to say, you have to make adult friendship work for you. And it's going to look different even from a real life person. I have friends who go away every year together, and they do this, you know, as a tradition. I don't necessarily have those friends. I mean, I have friends that I might go away, but it's not like I have the same six besties where we do everything together. Right. It doesn't mean that her friendships are better than mine. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
And I think that's just, it's the expectation. It's the thinking this is how it should be. It's just it's not the case. You make friendship work for you. And I'll tell you, adult friendship is not as easy as it looks on television.
No, not at all. And that would mean that was big for me. You're right. Like, it's a very like unconscious thing that you don't know you're carrying with you. But if you really like considered times in your life where you felt like this community or this experience didn't match up to your expectations, I mean, it's probably because of television. And I think that was for me in college, because I was like, man, we're just, I don't know why, but I feel like when I watch shows about college on television, they just like make it look so easy and fun. And I was there and I'm like, I have homework to do.
Yeah.
I have an on-campus job. Like, when am I supposed to frolic around?
Yep.
And you know, whatever it looked like, all these, when you watch those shows, they're never doing homework. They don't have jobs. Like, so just things like that. It definitely, I think, put me at a disadvantage when I started college, because I was very confused why this wasn't easier.
Yeah. And I would just encourage the listeners, if you're struggling with this, these expectations, and trying to strip them and begin to build friendships that are healthy and realistic, and you need help with that, that is a good time to call a friendship coach, which, Bailey, you are. This is what you do. This is what you're good at. I think it's worth spending the money, picking up the phone or getting on the Zoom and talking this out in a session, because I think we do have to discern sometimes, is this expectation something that really is possible and healthy and good? And if I just maybe, you know, prioritize this and that in my life, it could happen. Or is this an expectation that I think everybody's doing, but nobody's really doing? Like, nobody is getting together. I'm telling you this right now. I don't know, hand over heart. And if you do this, I want you to write in. I know no female pre-COVID that was getting together with their three best friends every Saturday morning, wearing stilettos and not gaining an ounce of weight, eating those bagels. I'm sorry. Drinking mimosas. It's not reality. You don't do that every Saturday.
No.
It's just not, it's an impossible thing to sustain. And then we think, well, I don't have those people in my life who are willing to do it. And we think there's something wrong with us. And we think that there's something wrong with them. And then we're crushed. And we're like, nobody wants to be my friend.
Right.
So I really think the friendship coach thing, this is an excellent example of getting somebody in and helping you discern those things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Can't always figure it out by yourself.
No. Well, it was so good chatting with you, Bailey. And as always, I'm going to drop in the show notes a little link if they want to connect with you to kind of figure some of this stuff out. But of course, you'll be with us next month. So I'm excited.
Awesome. Thanks, Noelle.
Gosh, it is always a treat to have Bailey on the show. I cannot wait till next month when she's back with us again. Listen, if you're going through some friendship stuff, some friendship drama, some chronic loneliness, do not hesitate to reach out and book a session of friendship coaching with Bailey. She really knows what she's doing. I can vouch for her. Okay, my friend, that is all we have for you this week on Friending. If you need me, you know where you can find me. I'll be on Instagram at Your Friend Noel. And if you want, join our Facebook community group, The Friending Squad. All the information will be in the show notes. Till next time, I'm your friend, Noel. Hey friend, if something in this episode stuck out to you or inspired you to be intentional in your friendships, we want to know about it. So go to iTunes, leave us a review, and tell us in the comments what you've loved and learned from this show. It will encourage us to keep going, as well as help other women find friending so that they too can be supported and inspired to have amazing female friendships in their life. Thanks for being a friend.